This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, it's week 40 of 2020, and welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast about the fun we have in our theater. And boy, oh boy, did I have a lot of fun in my theater this week. Before we get to that, I'm very excited to be sitting down right now. We'll get to all of that, but let's get some pleasantries out of the way first. My name is DJ. You can reach us on Twitter at BrightsideHT. Or you can email us at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. Of course, you can always talk to us directly by leaving comments at our website, brightsidehometheater.com. And there are spots for comments under all the episodes and all the featured theaters. Go to the website, check out all of that. That would be great. Really appreciate that. This is the second week of October, so that means it's the second week of horror. And aside from the movie, I have a little horror story to tell you about, but we'll get to all of that in a little bit. But let's start with what went on in my theater this week. What did I do in my theater this week? Well, first off, let's start with the Zapiti. I did a lot of research this week on the Zapiti. If you've listened in the past few weeks, yes, I've gone down the rabbit hole. I'm very excited about having a media system. I've always wanted to do that. You guys obviously know. And thank you, everybody, all the listeners like Theo, Vincent, Mike, Brian, Bill, Steve, Tommy. So many people have reached out to me through email to let me know their ideas. In between Plex and Zapiti, I'm kind of leaning towards Zapiti right now because, yes, it is a little bit more money, but it's a little bit more convenient. As much as I love to tinker, I have so much going on. I have to lean towards something that's a little bit more convenient. There's so much going on with this. Everybody, keep the comments coming. I really appreciate it. The opinions are great. I've told a bunch of you that thank you because I'm reading and reviewing a bunch of stuff, and it's great getting firsthand information and opinions from people that have dealt with this instead of reading what I call like the cold version when you just read reviews online and stuff. So it's a lot of fun. I've never had this experience before where people just start hitting me with information. It's great. But then let's move on to some stuff that I did for like actual watching. My wife and I watched Enola Holmes on Netflix. Millie Bobby Brown, Henry Cavill. The movie is really good. I don't even want to get into that. The 4K picture, the HD, this picture is so gorgeous on Netflix. Just watch this movie and you'll see some of the frames they've had. They have close-ups in some scenes of the characters, like either Millie Bobby Brown or, like I said, Henry Cavill. Notice how they shot it in some of the scenes. It'll be like hyper-focused on their face, but then on the other side of your screen, it'll be a little bit blurred. It plays so well, especially on a big screen. I have 110-inch. You're just looking all around the screen for details. And some of the countryside, the shots, it's the colors. It looks really, really nice. Even if you don't want to watch the movie, which I recommend the movie anyways, pop this on Netflix and just fast forward through it, and I guarantee you that as you're fast forwarding, you'll want to stop and just check out some of the beauty on some of the scenes. It really, really well shot and looks really nice. Another thing I watched this week, Super Speedway. Oh, thank you, Steve George on Twitter at Legal Beagle. Okay. He actually answered the question that's been bothering me for months and months since I first looked at Netflix Formula One way back in the wintertime. I even think I mentioned it on this podcast, but back then I probably didn't have as many listeners and people weren't jumping to give me information. And now Steve jumped right to it and he said, "You're thinking a Super Speedway." So I bought it, got it in 2 days, and I jumped around on that. And yeah, the picture's a little soft, like he said, but the surround sound is great. It's definitely a fun reference disc, I should say, for me, because it brings me back to the day when, you know, 20, 25 years ago, whenever this came out. A lot of fun. That's Super Speedway. It's on Blu-ray, but I owned it on DVD way back when, and it was great 5.1 surround back then. So then the other thing is, last thing I jumped around on was The Fifth Element in 4K. We'll have more on that in a little bit, so we'll just jump right to that. Actually, we'll jump to the next subject, which is where my home theater turned into a horror show yet again. So we lost power here in the middle of the week, and I have a generator, but I also have APC Pro 1500 and an APC 1500. I actually have two APC 1500s. They're a little bit smaller than the Pro. These are battery backups, UPSs, and they worked flawlessly. We had a storm come through. I lost power. Nothing missed a beat. So I have the two APC 1500s to run. One runs all of my network gear, and that's a little bit more power than I need, because without anything, that'll run for about 160 minutes. So it's a little more power than I need. And then I have another one up in the living room, in my living room behind the TV, and it runs an Apple TV. The television itself, it's a 55-inch Samsung television, and a soundbar, a Sonos soundbar. That will run for about 40 minutes if I do nothing. The APC Pro 1500, with the theater running full on, it runs everything in my theater except the subwoofers. That's key. We're going to get to that in a minute. So with the theater running full on, I have 9 minutes to power everything down with the APC Pro 1500. So we lost power. I wasn't running the theater at the time. It was right before dinner. When the power went out, I got super excited. My wife's like, what is wrong with you? The TV in the living room wasn't even on. We had just come home and we were starting to cook dinner. And I was like, we lost power, because we're standing in the dark. And I was like, let's turn the TV on. TV turned on flawlessly, never lost internet. I stream everything. We don't have cable. Apple's TVs worked perfectly. I came downstairs, powered up the theater. Theater powered up flawlessly. Everything's running. So I have 9 minutes now to get everything running. Go outside, start the generator. Generator's running, flip the house over. Everything runs great. Everything's going fine. No problem. My son's in the theater. I loved it. Everything was awesome. My son's in the theater playing video games. He's on the Sony PlayStation. He's online. We have no power in the house, but the generator's got us going. Power comes back on. I flip the house back over. Well, now the subwoofers that weren't powered are now powered. And nothing went wrong. Just my son noticed after about an hour, he goes, Dad, I've got no bass in here. Did a bunch of checks, and long, long story short, I know it seems already long, but it went on a lot longer. After we checked everything, I have another sub. The reason we had no power is the amps just stopped working. So I don't know if it was a surge when we first lost power. I don't know it was when we got the power back. But the amps in my SVS PB2000s stopped working. I have two of them in the theater. Both stopped working. I went through all of the process with SVS. They were awesome and continue to be awesome, because I'm in the process of having them deliver me two new amps so I can install these amps. Hopefully those come in time for next week's podcast. I have to watch a movie for next week, and I need my subs back. But this week's movie, I got to watch it with the subs, but then when I did my second review where I go through and I timestamp everything and I actually listen for intricacies and stuff, I had no subs. So we'll get to that when we get to Alien in 4K. By the way, Alien in 4K, check out the picture on the website, the picture of the cover art of Alien 40th anniversary 4K disc. The cover art looks fantastic on the website. Looks better than even when I hold the actual disc in my hand, because it's so much bigger. If you go to the desktop, the picture is huge. If you can check that out, there's a lot of detail there, and that picture looks really good. But anyways, back to the blown subs. I'm going through the process with SVS. Like I said, they've been great. I bought my subs 2 years ago, so they're under warranty. It's a 5-year warranty on these bad boys. And I'm very excited to get the new amps and get it back up and running again. But I don't know what happened. Who knows? But I love my APC Pro 1500s. You know where I got all that advice from? AV Rant. The night this happened, I was actually about to record my other podcast with my buddy John, and I was pacing the house, and my wife's like, "You're so stressed out." I go, "No, I'm so excited. I can't wait to do this. I can't wait to take apart the subwoofers. I can't wait to do that." I was like, I just wanted to stay up all night and tinker and play with everything, but I have other responsibilities. I've got to get stuff done, and that's why this podcast here is being done at the absolute last minute. I'm trying to get this done to get it out on time for 4 o'clock. It's been a long week, but we're getting to it. We're getting to it. So, all right, let's get new Twitter followers this week. We have Scott, More Joy Home Theater, Tommy, and Stone Gassman Meets the Killer, Boris Karloff. I just say the names, but thank you for following me. Welcome to Brightside Home Theater. I appreciate all the followers. Thank you very much. And this week's movie recommendations, we have from John M. We have Dr. Sleep and The Shining. Quote, both really well-made movies, but problem is they are way too dang long. And I agree. Maybe we might be seeing one or two of them coming up later on this month. I haven't decided yet. He also saw Event Horizon. He says, 1 hour, 37 minute, gripping, tense movie that grabs you and doesn't let go for the whole runtime. Another one we may be hearing from. And then lastly from John this week, he saw Waterworld in 4K, and his quote is, "No one is going to give the 4K video or DTS:X soundtrack any flack. Cliffhanger and this are proof of what is possible for catalog titles." And that one I'm really excited for. That's another one. Well, you haven't even heard about the first one yet, but that's another one that I'm excited to get to, but we're doing horror movies this month, so we'll have to wait on that one. New listener, Andrew, he recommended Fifth Element in 4K. He says, "I find it really weird and hilarious with the aliens. The story is crazy, and Chris Tucker is absolutely hysterical in the movie." And that's what got me to pull my copy off the shelf and take a look, bounce around at some different scenes, and it does look really nice. I hadn't seen this in a while, but it is a fun movie. The acting, some of the staging and is a little bit dated, but I'm really looking forward to doing this one as well. The last one I will mention has been recommended to me from, well, let's just say everybody, 300. This one here brings me right into tweets and emails. I had a tweet from OD Photography at Omar Delgado 72 at Brightside HT. I know you're doing a Halloween movie poll, so you can do a new podcast, but you might need to stop the press. The film 300 might have to bump that project. It's that good. And I replied, "Yeah, I'm getting a lot of requests for that. LOL. We'll see. But I do know for a fact that the disc will still be on my shelf in November. So maybe I'll wait till November, or maybe I'll put 300 in the poll when I run that poll. And if it comes up, hey, the listeners have spoken. We'll have to see. So sticking with OD, we'll go with a tweet that I had pushed off. He had asked me a few weeks ago. He says, "At Brightside HT, would love a podcast explaining the megabits per second count on movies and why some reach up to 100 megabits per second and others are less. Hashtag Full Metal Jacket for reference, LOL." I looked into this. So what I found was it could be laziness if it's excessively high, or it could be the scenes actually demand it. So there's a mixture there. From what I remember in my readings, a Blu-ray shouldn't go any higher than 40 because that's all it would take. An Ultra HD can go up to 100. I mean, we all get the idea that more information means more bits, so that makes sense. But why are some discs higher than others? And like I said, some scenes may actually demand it depending on what's going on in the scene. So the way a scene works, and if there's a lot of stagnant stuff on the screen, when they do their compression, the algorithm will say, well, we don't need to refresh that in the background because it hasn't changed. So why would we put new information over the old information if the new information is exactly the same as the old information? So you don't, you see what I mean? You don't need to do that. So they can save bit rate right there by not having to refresh that back scene, and you only refresh the pixels that are actually changing. So that's one way. And like I said, some scenes may actually demand that, because if you have a very, you know, intense action scene with lots of colors and lots of things going on and the entire screen is changing, your bit rate is going to go higher. But where the laziness comes in is sometimes to save bit rate, they can actually do the compression in the right places so you would never know it, and then save it so you could have a really high bit rate on the scenes you need. But if they just take it and they don't try to do compression in the best places, artistically speaking, and you could end up with a high bit rate because you didn't compress where you needed to compress or where you could compress. When high def TV was first being introduced back in the 90s, I was reading about this, that they used to use hockey as their barometer on how good everything was going to play through HD, and because it was the hardest thing to broadcast in high def, because the bit rates to broadcast in high def were so high back then that if they could get hockey down, they knew that they could broadcast anything. Because if you watch a hockey telecast, everything's moving. The camera is moving, so that means every pixel on the screen is being utilized. There are no stagnant pixels. You know, if you're watching football, for instance, and they just have, you know, when they're at, you know, they're about to snap the football, you have a bunch of players standing there. You have a green background of the field, that all of those pixels showing that field are stagnant until the camera moves. But in hockey, you have a giant crowd in the background, and as the camera flows back and forth, the players are all moving. Nobody ever stops. No, everything's moving all the time. To reproduce that over and over and to broadcast that out, the refresh rates were crazy and the megapixels per second were unreal. So the compression that they had to develop to do that was crazy. And they knew that once they could perfect that, and all the while this is going on over in Japan, I imagine, because I'm reading about it, and they're saying they're trying to get hockey down over in Japan. And it was pretty funny because I'm a huge hockey fan, and they're using my two passions here to figure out if one can actually work. So when they got that down, got the refresh rates down, got the megabits per second down for hockey, they knew they could broadcast HD. And like I said, that was back in the 90s, mid-90s, before most people even knew what HD was. I was reading about that. So I hope I answered that question. That's a long way of doing it, but hey, I channeled a little bit of Rob H. right there. And a very little bit. He's a lot smarter, probably could have answered it a lot quicker. I took 2 weeks. So now moving on, we have another email from Andrew. Andrew says, hello, DJ. My name is Andrew and I live in Upper East Tennessee. And I just wanted to say first off that I absolutely love your podcast. Discovered you through AV Rant and the HT guys. I don't currently have a theater in my current home, but I did in my previous home and I miss it dearly. But I'm enjoying all the movies I can with what I have. I just wanted to email you this morning and see what your opinion on The Fifth Element is, and if you have it on 4K or the ability to watch it in 4K, would you do a review on that? I don't have a 4K television, but I do own the movie on Blu-ray, and it's one of my guilty pleasures. I find it really weird and hilarious with the aliens, the story is crazy, and Chris Tucker is absolutely hysterical in the movie, and I just love it. But I would like someone's opinion who owns a good 4K system to talk about it, and I was wondering if you would do that at some point. Thanks for all you do, watching movies in your theater and talking about them. My fiance and I are currently house hunting, and I can't wait to get a home with a dedicated room in a basement where I can build another theater. Take care, and I look forward to your response and emailing back and forth. Thanks. Well, thanks, Andrew. Thank you for the compliments. And that, everybody, is why we will be doing The Fifth Element. Andrew here, doesn't have a theater and he just wants to live vicariously through us. So let's do that. I will be doing Fifth Element in November at some point. It is going to be fun to do. I do recommend the disc as a home theater fan. The colors really pop. The HDR is really good, and I can't wait to delve into the surround sound as well, but the 4K does look really nice. I mean, that's an outrageous movie, so the colors, everything, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Can't wait for that. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks for listening, and we'll hook you up, buddy. We'll be taking care of that in November. Okay, last email for this week. We have David B. He says, "Hi, DJ. I am in between jobs at the moment and have a lot of spare time. Home theater is my life's passion too. Question, is there anything I can contribute to the podcast from any standpoint, even from a technical side? Not looking to get paid, just as fun volunteer work. Let me know, Dave B." Wow. Thanks, Dave. I was blown away by this. Dave and I are working on a little project here he's helping me with. My answer to him was, what do you have in mind? If you have something, I don't want to like influence your opinion. He came back right away, said, no, influence away. I have nothing. I was like, okay. The hardest part about having a podcast is growing the podcast. That's why I reached out to AV Rant and HT guys, and they've been great. And that's so, how do we get past that? How do I grow further? I'm not very good at promoting myself. I hate that. And when I first started the podcast, my brother made fun of me for it because I didn't like to tell people, but how else are people going to know? So what I said is, you know, can we do something to help promote the podcast and help it grow in different areas? So, like I said, we're working on that. I will have an announcement about that when Dave's ready. I asked him, you know, what he's working on. Whenever you're ready, I will announce it. And it's a fun little add to the podcast. And the other thing this email did for me was it opened my eyes to what they say on AV Rant all the time. Tom and Rob are like, if you do anything to support the podcast, let us know and we'll give you a shout out. So I am going to copy Tom and Rob right off the bat and just say, hey, anybody does anything for the podcast, if you promote it in any way, let us know. I feel like I could read the script right from Tom's sheet because I've heard it so many times. And it is. It's a great way to grow the podcast. When I'm done with SVS and all of this situation and my last email or phone call with them, I'll be telling them how I got to SVS. And that was through AV Rant. So, and I will let AV Rant know that I did that. And that helps them. That helps the podcast. So anybody does that for me, please let your friends know. Talk to your friends. If you let your friend and anybody, if their eyes didn't glaze over and your friends are interested in this, then great. Let me know. Let me know who you told and started listening. That's how we grow the podcast. If you have any ideas or you want to help out in some way, you know, let me know. We'll come up with something. But thanks, Dave. Thanks to everybody. Thanks for everything that everybody's done so far. It's been great. Like my wife said, you're so stressed out, but it's not stress. It's so much fun. I'm having so much fun in my theater. And speaking of theaters, let's get to this week's featured theater. Wow, what a segue. I'm like professional here. This week's theater comes from Reginald Boyd. And if you've been to the website, you would have seen that I named his theater Eucalypt Theater. He didn't give that name. I gave that name. So if he doesn't like it, Reginald, if you don't like it, please let me know and I'll change it. But I thought it was pretty cool and we'll get to why I named it if people haven't figured out why it's named that yet. But he sent me the pictures and an email and he said, "Dear DJ, like Disneyland, my system is perpetually a work in progress. The most recent component is the SVS SB4000. The system resides in a dedicated room, i.e. man cave, which is a home theater / high-end audio system utilizing separate components. And he has an Oppo 203 Blu-ray player, a Marantz SA11V3 SACD player, a Rotel RSP1572 Pre-Pro, Macintosh Labs MC205 5-channel power amp, Apple TV 4th generation 4K, Musical Fidelity X-Can V3 with standalone power supply headphone amp. Grotto Labs headphones RS1 and RS2s. Polk Audio Speakers LSI 15 floor standing LSI FX surround speakers and LSI C center channel. And of course, the aforementioned SVS SB4000. Now, let's get to the pictures that are up on the website at brightsidehometheater.com. All you have to do is click on the Eucalypt Theater. If you scroll down from the whole page, you should see his. His is the featured theater this week. Or you can click on featured theaters. His would be the first one. But if you want to see all of the theaters we've done, there's a bunch of them there already. So check those out. But the first picture we have in the Eucalypt Theater, we have his collection of Blu-rays and CDs. It is extensive. You can see down on the floor, he has more in boxes. He hasn't even filed away yet. The CD collection is, he has to have been doing this since the 80s. It's incredible the amount of CDs he has, the amount of Blu-rays. And if you notice in the kind of the left corner of the picture, you'll see why I named this the Eucalypt Theater. Then the next picture, we pull back. We actually see the couch that he sits on to enjoy all this. You can see a little bit more of the floor here where with more Blu-rays ready to be filed and a couple of dumbbells on the floor. Next picture we have is the beautiful, glossy SVS SB4000. I'm wondering if he shined that up for the picture because it looks so good. There's not, I can't even see a fingerprint on it. I do really enjoy the wallpaper in the background, the musicians on the wall, the red. That looks really cool. Perfect for this room, too. And the next picture we have, we go behind the rack. Love these pictures. If you have pictures like this, please send them to me. I love the chaos, but this is so clean. He's got them all banded up with the Velcro. All his cables match. You have the white. It's gorgeous. I want to do this, but over the years, I've just plugged and played. But when I redo my system, I would love to get matching cables for certain things. And it just looks so nice. And the next picture is the same thing. Just pull back a little further. It's like looking in an engine and you look in and if somebody has, I'm also a car guy too. I have a car and I enjoy that hobby as well. And you go to a car show and you pop the hood and it might be nice and clean, but if somebody has, you know, colored spark plug wires, just makes it pop. I mean, it could be spick and span and perfectly clean, but if you just have plain old spark plug wires and it just looks like a clean engine, it doesn't really pop. But then if you put in a braided spark plug wire that's like blue or red or even the orange ones reminds you of the 70s, it just makes it pop against all the black. And what he's done here, it really reminds me of that when you pop the hood and you have a nice clean engine and those spark plug wires. It looks so cool. So neat. So the next picture after we step out from behind the rack, we go to the front of the rack and we get to see everything in its glory. That Macintosh amp. So jealous. Those beautiful speakers and another. Now we have a kind of the right sided top picture, top of the right. You see another version of why we named the theater the Eucalypt Theater. And I'm not going to say what it is because you have to go to the website to see it. So cute. But again, the view from the front here, so clean. The wood on those speakers looks really nice. Everything looks so clean, so precise. Very well done. And then you get another picture, move on to the next picture, and same thing, you're just a different shot of it. And you can kind of see the room in the background to get some depth here. And then the final picture, rack is all cleaned up. Closed up, I should say. The TV is on. This looks like a beautiful room to sit down, relax, watch a movie, listen to some music. Clearly that's what Reginald enjoys. This just a very, very well done room, very clean. And let me be totally honest with you. This isn't my cup of tea. meaning the music stuff. Somebody this week, I apologize, I can't remember who it was, but we were talking about music and I can't sit down and listen to music. It's my ADD or whatever it is. I need to be doing something. I need to be moving when music comes on. And if the music that I like comes on, I get up and do something. It makes me want to move. So sitting in a room with headphones on or sitting in a room and listening to music, it's never been me. I get antsy. Music to me is a moving thing. Movies are a sit down and enjoy thing. But this room here, I love this room. I love how he's done this. This is perfect for him, clearly. He takes such good care of it. It's so well done. I mean, even look at the floor and the carpet, and you can see footprints because he's vacuumed it so nice and neat. So it's just a beautifully well done room. Thank you, Reginald. I really appreciate it. Really appreciate your submission. And anybody, if you would like to get your theater reviewed on this podcast, just email me pictures and a description. The more descript, the better, the more I have to talk about. But if you just want to send me a couple of pictures of what you have, even if it's just a TV, send me that. Because like I mentioned in the email earlier from Andrew doesn't have a home theater, but he's just listening because he enjoys it. He used to have a home theater. He's going to have a home theater again someday. But I said, Andrew, send me a picture. We'll feature it. And then as you build your new home theater, we'll add to it. So the website will grow with you. So we'll be able to see the progression from where you came to what you're going to have. It'll be a lot of fun. So anybody, if you want to get your home theater onto the website and have me review it on the podcast, email me. Email's the best way. You can DM me on Twitter, but if you email me, I can have everything right there all in one, and you can send me additional emails and additional pictures as we go, and I'll add them to it. I've done that with many people so far. They've added pictures later on before I did the review. Oh, wait, hang on. This just in. This is how late I'm doing this podcast this week. Reginald just emailed me a couple of more pictures. So if you go back to the website, well, you're probably there and it's probably been updated. So the last couple of pictures we have are, one, it's a rack of more content that he has. This looks like it's his 4K movies and some more Blu-rays at the bottom. And you really get to take a look at the depth of the room. This isn't a very big room and it looks fantastic. Like I said earlier. 2 minutes ago, the carpet on the floor. It looked so well done, so clean. Oh, look, just got an alert. Reginald just followed my personal account as well. This is a very timely podcast. I'm hoping I get this even out on time for my 4 o'clock deadline that I set myself. But back to this. Reginald sent this picture. So you really get to see the depth here in this last picture of the room. And then the next picture, because that wasn't the last picture. Here's yet another one. It's a close-up of the front of the cabinet with the door open, and we get to see the Marantz. We get to see the Macintosh. It's, like I said, so clean. It looks so good. This must sound incredible in that room, sitting so close to those speakers. Everything must just sound so nice. And an SP-4000. 4,000 in that room. The bass must be so clean and perfect. Just like everything I've seen in this room so far. This is awesome. Thank you so much, Reginald. I really appreciate it. And this just in as well. Oh, he has the TV that we've been looking at. I didn't have that yet, but here it is. He just sent it to me. It's a Sony XBR 55900F UHD 4K. And the cables, he can't be hearing me. This isn't live. And the cables that I talked about, that I just raved about, are Tara Labs cables, various types, and Apple Mac Mini Rune Core. I don't know if that's a typo or not. All right. Okay, enough of doing a live podcast here. Okay, I have to move on. That is awesome. Thank you so much, Reginald. I really appreciate everything. This is awesome. This is so funny. Hope everybody's enjoying this, but literally this is how my week has been going. And it's, I like to get these done early, but who knows? So much fun. This podcast is so much fun. All right, let's get to this week's featured movie. This week we'll be featuring Alien from 1979, if you didn't already see the title. Let's play the trailer and we'll come back and we'll break it down. I love that trailer. Check that out. Go to the notes, the show notes, and I always link the trailer to the show notes. So you can just go right to YouTube. The link is right there and watch the trailer. I recommend watching this trailer in your theater. I know if you're watching an audio only podcast, you just sat through the music, but tell me that trailer, just the audio alone, doesn't build that horror tension. Starting out so quiet and just building as the trailer goes. And when you see the scenes build up too, but it's such a great use of sound. This movie uses sound so well to set that horror tension. And I actually told some people I was doing this and they're like, you really think that's a horror movie? I'm like, yeah, from Alien from 1979. I know Aliens gets a higher ranking in the horror department, but this is so good, and it's such a great use. For 1979, what they did here with a science fiction movie, making it a horror movie like this, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it when I didn't see it in the theater. I was only 9 at the time, so I wasn't allowed to see it in the theater. But when I finally did see this is another one of those movies that, when I eventually got into home theater, I was like, wait a minute, I have to see Alien because that needs to be seen in its proper environment. And watching this on a little TV with little speakers on it just doesn't do this movie justice. And all of the additions over the years for this movie have been really good. But now seeing it in 4K with the, you know, HDR, it looks so much better. A little bit left. We'll get to the sound in a second. Let's talk picture first. The dynamic range in this movie is extremely high. It is so well done because most of this movie is shot with very focused lighting. So they're on ships. There's a lot of flashlight use. There's a lot of single light overhead creating that high contrast. Like, a lot of those scenes where, like, you know, when you put the flashlight under your chin to tell a spooky story and you create that high contrast because the light's so focused, a lot of that going on in this movie with lights from the side, lights from above, but a single light source, lots of that going on in this movie, and it plays so well to the HDR. And because of that, it has such great depth and detail. So in the two extremes. So if you look at the bright areas of any particular scene, you're going to see some detail. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. And then you look in the shadows, you're going to see some detail there. I thought the blacks were really deep in this movie and the highlights were really bright, really great job. I really enjoyed that. The headlamps and the spotlights looked really nice. Looked so much better than they have in the past. And this is one of those cases where you didn't know what you were missing until you see this disc. And you do an AB. In my opinion, it's a big difference. Talking about the sound. Now, again, I watched this movie with both of my subs the first time I saw the movie. Really enjoyed it. It has decent bass. It's a movie from the 70s, so it's not cranking. We're not talking Lucy here. We're not talking, you know, Godzilla or something. We're talking a decent amount of bass. You can feel it at times, but no big punches from what I remember. But it does have really nice side-to-side discrete sounds throughout the movie. I felt that the movie was a little front-heavy for most of the movie, probably because it's from the 70s. It's clearly a 4.1 upgrade. You know, that's the way they shot it originally. It's a DTS master audio mix, but I'm running it with the Neuralex upmix. So I get a little bit more, you know, sound around my room. That's the way I like to do things. I like my system to upgrade the audio. Let's take use of all of the channels. But even with that, I felt like the stage was all the sound was coming from the front for most of the time. There were a couple of scenes that were a little wonky, and I'll probably get to those in a minute. But there were great variations in sound from scene to scene, really setting the atmosphere for these scenes in this movie. Like if you go from outside the ship to inside the ship or different rooms on the ship. So you did have a great use of ambient sound here. And the last act had full engagement of all the speakers. The room really comes alive. And the dialogue was still very clear. The dialogue throughout this movie was very, very clear. Very, very well done. And even at times when it wasn't just in the center channel. And I'll get to a couple of those scenes too. But the last thing I'd like to say before we get into spoilers is that this is the movie that's, you know, no one can hear you scream in space. Because there is no sound. And this movie makes awesome use of the silence, of the lack of sound throughout the movie. So it's, and again, I love when they do stuff like that where it's not just the sound. It's the absence of sound can create such a mood. And you get that in horror movies. And because that's how you set the tension. Like in Jaws, the sharks, the silent killers, you know, whatever. They run under the water. You don't know what it is. So when you take everything away, you're just sitting there waiting for something to happen. And they do that time and again in this movie. It's so good. All right. I hear the popcorn popping. Let's get to some spoilers. Let's get through this movie. So much fun. And of course, we start with the opening. That's where we always start. The opening in this movie is just like the trailer. It is so quiet. Distinct sounds popping all around the room. The screen is mostly black. You have the stars in the background. You have the planet and you have some colors there. Lots of detail and subtle little things you may miss if your room isn't completely black or calibrated well. And the reason I say this is when I go back and I do my timestamps, I have an iPad in front of me. My room's completely black. If my iPad was on, the screen didn't look as good because the light shining in my eyes from my iPad are changing my irises. I shut my iPad off. I wait a second and the screen looks completely different. And that's just the little iPad that I have in front of me. Imagine people just watching this on a crappy TV. It just doesn't look as good. So that's how good this picture looks. And if you look at that opening scene, there isn't a lot of light coming off of your screen. So if you have any other light in your room, it's going to wash everything out. And that goes for the rest of this movie, this entire movie, that the dark scenes are so just as important as the lights in the scene and everything. It's so good. I thought the 1080p version, the tone here, not as nice. The tone is way bluer through the rest of the movie, but this opening scene, the tone, I thought was too bright at times. I thought the UHD version had much deeper blacks. And then when we get to what I call at 224, the Star Wars flyover, the ship itself looked a little bluer. And in the UHD, it was that nice gray. It took that blue out. So the UHD to me, it looks so much nicer because the 1080p is just blown out with blue. And we'll get to more of that as we go on. But also at this scene here at the 2 minutes and 24 second mark, the Star Wars flyover, there was some nice bass here as the Nostromo flies overhead. And then you go inside and there's a reverberating bass sound that's very mechanical, but pretty cool, setting the environment again. But look at all the cool detail in the shadows and the pipes as we go through the ship. The HDR was done so well. At the 3 minute mark, you can even see a glow like on the floor, a blinking light in the hallway. But if you look on the floor, you'll see that subtle, you don't see the light, I don't think. You just see where the light is hitting, and it's just this little glow on the floor. It's pretty subtle, and I didn't see that before, and I don't think I even noticed it in the 1080p version when I watched that one, because I didn't make note of it. At 4 minutes and 12 seconds, turn on. This is when all the computers turn on, and this is an example of how I thought the stage was pretty front heavy, and I'm wondering if it's a style choice of the time, because clearly later on they engage the other channels here, but everything is pretty much dedicated to the front pans. So it's like all the computers start turning on, but it's like front left, front right, center, then front left again. It's whatever the order is, but everything was just front heavy. But as we talk later, you'll see like the rest of your channels do get engaged. But I guess the sound mix back then, they said, okay, we'll put everything in the front. Going to 8 minutes and 12 seconds, plugging in, Tom Skerritt's character, Dallas, walking down the hall, and he's about to plug into Mother. There's some cool, discreet sounds as he approaches down the hall and walks in, and he's plugging stuff in on the left side of your screen. He's plugging in some, drives and stuff. But what I really liked was the sweeping, whooshing sound going back and forth on the right side of your room. I have no idea what it was, but it was a really cool effect. Definitely worth checking out. The sound in my room seemed to be swaying, whooshing back and forth. And it was very persistent, very repetitive. And it stays there for a little bit. But it appeared in my room to be about halfway between my front right channel speaker and my right side rear speaker. Let me know what you hear. If you hear it, if it's in a different place in your room, but I don't think it would be on the other side. Otherwise, my whole room screwed up. At the 13 minute mark, the crew. This scene is the crew prepping for approach. What I thought was cool was how you could hear each of the individuals in each of the channels, really putting you in the cockpit, if you will, but still a little front heavy, but there was some ambient sounds in the rear. But this is the one that I mentioned earlier where the dialogue was really cool. So different members of the crew were talking, and it would be on the left side, not even on screen, but off screen, but it was still very clear. Or then on the right side, it would be very, off screen, but still very clear. Pretty cool. At 16 minutes and 2 seconds, we have the landing. The bass was really nice here as well, that from what I remember. But what I can say is the 4K picture here way outshines the 1080p. I went back and forth on this one a couple of times, going from the 1080 to the UHD, 1080 UHD. It's amazing how blue the 1080p is, especially just as the ship is about to touch down. You see in the foreground, you see the rocks that are really black, kind of setting the depth here. And how dark those are. But then the ship is off in the background, and it's all like a bluish tint to it. It looked fine for the time. If you don't see the 4K UHD version, you would think that looks great. But then when you watch it in 4K, it's grayer the way it should be. And the lights, Oh, I love the lights. There's two giant spotlights under the ship. Those turn on. Then you have the running lights, which are like Christmas lights practically. Those are a little bit more yellow in the UHD version. The 1080p version, the colors between the running lights and the spotlights is a lot closer. You can tell they're different. One's a little bit yellower, but it's night and day. In like the spotlights in the UHD version are white, very white, and you can see the grills on the spotlights very nicely, but the running lights are almost an orange. So it's very big difference in the lighting here. Then you get the dust slash atmosphere or exhaust or whatever you want as the ship is coming down, and the detail you can see in the UHD version is really nice. But then moving on to 22 minutes and 27 seconds, I'll Be on the Bridge. This is a scene where Ripley's talking to a couple of crew members in a hallway, and there's a lot of steam slash exhaust blowing around. But take a look. There's no loss of detail in either the picture or the dialogue. It's really good. You can clearly hear Ripley tell them off, and then they even go as far as lowering a voice as she steps away. But it's still very clear. But also look around the screen at all the detail, like up above the crew members' heads, the darker areas in the ceiling where you can see the details in the shadows, but also the highlights at say 22 minutes and 40 seconds exactly. It looks like there's refrigerators on the right side, and you can see details inside of the refrigerator. You don't know what they are, but there's just depth there that you can see in the highlights. And then on the left side of the screen, you have bright lights going on the walls of the hall. And then also you have the blooming going across the screen, the nice blue light going across the screen. It looks so nice, so well done, so much depth in all of these scenes. At 25 minutes and 3 seconds, we go inside a helmet. This scene here, you really feel like you're in the helmet. You're really not. You're kind of in the ship, but the effect that they give you, it sounds like you're in the helmet. You have a nice echo with the breathing going on, and it's kind of filling your room. It feels like you're, like I said, in the helmet. And the ambient sounds of what's going on outside coming through the helmet, but there's also a nice clicking noise on the right side of the room. Like right where your ear was, it was weird, but it was like there was something going on over there. Pay attention for that. But then the view you're also getting is the screen from inside the ship. So it's all pixelated. So it's, you know, you're not getting that beautiful 4K HDR picture. You're getting this pixelated picture that they were looking through. Really, really nice contrast there, because when they flip right back, they go away from that. You see how nice the 4K picture really looks. Pretty cool scene. At 32 minutes and 32 seconds, the mist. This scene here, that mist, I was kind of looking forward to this scene in 4K because of how cool that looked in every version that I've ever seen. And it is borderline 3D now. This is a scene where they discover the eggs and that everything that's going on there. But check out how cool that mist looks and how the blue really pops off the screen and the detail in the scene. And in the entire scene from even before this is really nice. Lots of detail that I hadn't seen before going, you know, just all over. At 34 minutes and 15 seconds, we have our first jump scare. This is where it just basically sets itself up. Yep. We're in a horror movie here. This is 1979, and yeah, you jumped out of your seat when this happened. He's approaching that egg thing or whatever, and he looks inside to check it out and the detail, and you know something's coming. You know something's going to happen. And he looks inside, and he sees that nice, delicious piece of raw chicken. That's what it looked like to me, raw chicken. But they're setting the stage because your room goes pretty quiet. And then right when the thing jumps out, the room comes alive and nice jump scare here. And then at 36:19, they go to remove his helmet because we know what's happened. He just came back to the ship. They're about to cut his helmet off. And at, like I said, at 36:19, this is textbook horror. They open up the scene with them cutting like with a grinding wheel or something, but it's a really loud, high-pitched grind. And then it just goes away to nothing when they turn that grinding wheel off. But there's a nice whooshing sound overhead that's very subtle. It's not in your overheads. They didn't have that. But there's a nice whooshing sound that feels like it's just hovering over you. It sounded so good. And it, like I said, it's so quiet, but you have this little whooshing going on over your head. Really, really cool. Really setting the tension. You don't know. Well, you've seen the movie before, so you know nothing really happens here. But really setting the tension. And again, it's just this movie just keeps building off of the quietness of the movie. At 50 minutes and 51 seconds, they take off because they're getting out of there. So this is another one where the bass was really nice, but check out the running lights again. And here's it really popping off the screen. Nice atmospheric depth, more, you know, really black rocks in the foreground. And then you have the depth with the atmosphere in the background. Really, really nice. At 56 minutes and 20 seconds, we have a baby alien. This is where he makes his appearance for the first time. This is really gross. This is a baby alien, and it's when it comes out of his stomach. But I feel like the sound here was very, very front heavy. This is one of those wonky scenes. I wasn't crazy about how they remastered this. They should have been able to do this scene a little bit better because everything seemed to be front heavy towards the front of your room. But then at the 56 minute and 59 second mark, we got some nice echo effects around the room because the alien has jumped out and he's taken off. And now they're about to start looking for the alien around the ship. And you're getting nice audio, obviously. You're getting nice dialogue, but it's popping up at different points in your room because the characters are at different parts of the ship and it has a nice echo effect. So everything's very clear and they did a great job of manipulating that. But the earlier scene when the alien first came out, everything feels like it just felt very cheap, very rudimentary at the front of your room. It didn't play as well as the scene that followed. At 59 minutes and 50 seconds, the flashlight. So Ripley's walking down the hall with a flashlight she's carrying, and the blooming off the flashlight was really, really cool. So you had the bright white of the flashlight, but then as it bloomed, you got that touches of blue, looked really nice. You also had the echo effect of her approaching down the hall and you could hear her footsteps. And it just, again, a quiet scene, setting the tension, but really, really well done. And the HDR is so nice in this movie. 1 hour, 1 minute, 29 seconds, open the door. And that's Ripley saying, open the door. And they are still searching for the little alien, the baby alien at the time. And when they're coming into the room, that's kind of cool looking because now you're in the room when she says this, the door opens. And so you see the fog or whatever coming through and the way the light comes through the door. So you have a nice angle there. All the dark scenes, tons of detail, nice detail in that like little bit of fog. But listen to the beeping noise on the right side of your room. And it actually turns on like right after the door opens. You don't hear anything for like 2 seconds. And then you'll hear some kind of computer or something just beeping away over on the right side of your room. It's pretty cool. At 1 hour, 4 minutes and 17 seconds, I labeled this Jonesy because Harry Dean Stanton's character is looking for the cat. And overhead, you can hear this hum that's supposed to be mechanical, or it's supposed to be almost like it's part of the ship, but it's not because it's playing at the pace of a heartbeat. And if you listen to this, you'll pick it up here, right? Like I said, at 1 hour, 4 minutes and 17 seconds, you'll hear that heartbeat noise, but it's a mechanical noise. It doesn't sound like a heartbeat, but it's a heartbeat pace. It's a really cool effect here that's setting the tension that plays out all the way until the 1 hour, 7 minute and 33 seconds. So for over 3 minutes, this has been playing, and this is where Brett gets killed. I said, we're in spoilers. So the alien comes down and kills him. And just as Brett, Harry Dean Stanton, is looking at the alien, that humming mechanical noise that has been so consistent through this scene for so long, you would think it may, if you're not paying attention, you probably don't notice it. You think it's just an ambient sound of the ship. But now it starts to ramp up like your heartbeat would as you're about to be killed by an alien. And obviously the music comes in here and the, you know, the whole scene ramps up, but pay attention to just that little, that noise that ramp, you know, it gets a little bit faster and it gets a little bit louder. I have to imagine that people that aren't paying attention to this stuff, it still affects them subconsciously, but it's so cool because I didn't even notice. I did notice it. But then when I was doing my review the second time, I'm going through it and I was like, I have to, let me see the scene play out and see where it actually does it ramp up. And it does. It slightly ramps up just as Brett's about to be killed. Pretty cool. At 1 hour, 12 minutes, 35 seconds, open the hatch. Tom Skerritt's character, Dallas, says, open the hatch, and there's a grinding noise when those hatches open. That's pretty cool. And they do it repetitively with a few more hatches, really driving that irritating grinding noise home. It's a pretty cool scene. At 1 hour, 15 minutes, and 35 seconds, this is where Tom Skerritt, Dallas, he gets killed. But scared the heck out of me both times. When I watched the movie, and then when I reviewed the movie again, I'm jumping to this scene, the 1:15:35. And when he comes down that ladder and he looks to his left and that alien just comes out, because of the way they do it and the sound is so discreet and high pitch shrill that it just makes you jump. You can't help it. They're hitting you before that with these like beeping sounds that are going on, taking your focus off, and you're kind of looking around all the different scenes and the way they paste it out. And then just when he looks over there and then the thing comes right at you through the screen, it gives you that jump right in your chest. It's so cool. At 1 hour, 24 minutes and 43 seconds, we have a 1970s cutscene. Pretty obvious, but not horrible, but Ripley's setting up the head of Ash and it like wouldn't stay because it's the dummy head. And then all of a sudden it just cuts to actually Ian Holm, obviously in a table or something, but it just cuts right to Ian Holm and he just starts talking and you could totally tell it's a cut scene. Not the worst thing in the world. I've seen far worse, but I thought that was pretty funny. At 1 hour, 32 minutes, and 36 seconds, get out of the way. And this is where Parker and Lambert are getting attacked. And the score is just filling your room. But you could still hear, clearly, even hear Lambert saying, no, no, no. You know, like, and she's quietly, you know, scared out of her mind. She's saying no because she doesn't want to be killed. And then you hear Parker telling her to get out of the way, get out of the way. He's screaming it, but when you hear this in your room, it's weird that you can hear them so clearly when your room is just filled with so much sound. At 1 hour, 37 minutes and 15 seconds, strobe lights. This is pretty cool. This happens a bunch in the movie, but check this one out. The HDR looks so cool, and it's Ripley. She's going through the ship. And the focus on her face, you get such darkness and then such light with this strobe light. The HDR is just really shining here, pun intended. It looked so good. At 1 hour, 40 minutes, and 22 seconds, we have exhaust. This scene here, this was for the sound. This is a great pan in the front of your room. So Ripley's making her way down the hallway and she's got her blowtorch out. And then all of a sudden, it's not a jump scene, but it made her kind of jump and it kind of makes you, you know, it's just sudden at the exact mark of 1 hour, 40 minutes and 22 seconds. An exhaust port blows in on the right side of the screen and she jumps and like looks at it. So she's looking right to where your speaker is. And it's a pretty cool scene because you don't see it coming, but the tensions are running high because of the movie itself. It's pretty cool. At 1 hour, 43 minutes and 17 seconds, we have an explosion. This is where the ship explodes and Ripley, she has just escaped, but she's gonna see the ship explode. Okay. This one, it had decent bass from what I remember. but the look of the explosion was very Star Trek-y, very 70s psychedelic explosion. It was kind of digitized. It was kind of weird. Like, I didn't get it. I don't know why they went with that look. Maybe this is where, you know, I know George Lucas redid the explosion of the Death Star and put the ring around it, and I thought that look, maybe they could have learned a little from that, because this explosion isn't the best space explosion I've ever seen. But okay, this is the bright side. Let's move on. 1 hour, 46 minutes and 46 seconds. We have one more jump scare, and this, obviously this is Ripley. You can see the thing sitting right there. But what made me jump here is I forgot that it was an arm that was going to come out and grab you. I thought he was going to, the alien's head was going to spin around and you were going to see him or something. But that arm comes out quick. And then, of course, the sound ramps up and it makes you jump. A lot of nice ambient ticking sounds leading up to it. Very peaceful, actually, in the ship. Because I had even forgotten about this scene until she got to the wall. And I could see clearly that that was an alien, because you just know what the back of his head looks like, or whatever, that smooth gray look. And again, the colors here, so much better than the 1080p. 1080p, again, we didn't know the difference, but it was a little bluer. The picture was obviously better throughout this movie in 4K. A lot less, or more accurate, I should say, blooming. Colors weren't blown out like they are in 1080p. Again, it's a case of we didn't know how good it could be, and this movie looks so much better to me in 4K. This next example here is a prime example. It's at 1 hour, 49 minutes, and 14 seconds. It's the helmet design. If you have access to both an older version in 1080p and this 4K, this is an example here where the designs on the helmet, they're almost Aztec. Like, there's no reason for these designs to be on the helmet other than just decoration, and they are beautiful, and they really are shown off in the 4K version. The 1080p, you can barely make them out. You see that they're there. You see the textures, but you can't see the depth. You can't see the detail that went in to that some artist did when designing this helmet for the movie. All the detail is there in the 4K, and it's not necessarily the resolution. It's the HDR. It's the being able to jump right from that light to that dark that takes up this detail in this helmet. Like I said, very beautifully designed helmet, much different than the bubble wrap in Empire Strikes Back, because that was lazy. That's just, let's strap some bubble wrap on there. This took a lot of care. And, you know, maybe they were making up for just the, like, white painted hockey gloves that they're wearing in space. But the detail here, and you can even go back to the earlier scene that I talked about with the helmet at 36 minutes and 19 seconds, called removing the helmet when they were with the grinding wheel. If you look at that, the helmet's filthy. It, you know, it's been charred or whatever, but you can see the detail in that as well. The detail that I'm talking about. And it's all around, like, the rim of the helmet where the glass is. You'll see what I'm talking about. You can't miss it. It is beautiful. And it just doesn't pop out in the 1080p version. Next scene, 1 hour, 50 minutes, 43 seconds, the final confrontation. Ripley's breathing, the incessant ticking noises, the blowing winds or exhaust or whatever's going on inside the ship, the air moving, and no score. Just really setting the stage here. And then at 1 hour, 51 minutes and 47 seconds, Ripley blows the hatch and the room fills with gusting winds. Just really cool, even for 1979, for them to have done this. Wasn't the effect, I can't remember the movie I was talking about a few weeks ago where you could, it felt like my hair blew when it blew from the back of the room to the front. Wasn't as discreet as that, but it was really nice. And then at 1 hour, 52 minutes and 28 seconds, our last scene of note, the engines firing up. Ripley fires up the engines to get rid of the alien for the last time in this movie. But it really sounds nice, really fills the room. And then right from there, it goes into Ripley giving her final report. And we think we're done with aliens forever until, well, 1986, when we get Aliens. And I will be doing that movie someday, obviously. But that's what we have for this movie. This has a home theater running time of 1 hour, 53 minutes and 40 seconds. That's my review. That's the podcast. Thank you to everyone who participated. Again, comments, questions, home theater submissions. You can reach me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. You can check out all of this information on my home theater website, BrightsideHomeTheater.com. You can also go to the Nerdy Legion at NerdyLegion.com. Check out this podcast and all the other podcasts there. And please go on iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe. Apparently iTunes is the one that gives you the most cred with subscriptions and reviews. I don't know. But that'll do it for this week. Week number 2 of our horror adventures, I should say. I don't know. I'll be back next week with another horror movie. Get your submissions in, your ideas in. I'll pick a few and we'll put it out on Tuesday the 13th for one of the movies that I will be reviewing. We'll let you guys vote on that. So until next week, have a great weekend, have a great week, and go push play.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.